If Jesus had been impatient to fulfill the things he knew he could, what might have been the ramifications?
The whole plan fell apart.
Because in perfect timing, all of us have an opportunity for salvation. This is the crux of the whole thing. I really want us to recognize that God's will, God's way, in God's time, all three of those prongs have to be solid, or else it's not full obedience. Hi, this is Holly. Welcome to Study with Friends, a Bible study community created to deepen your relationship with God through His Word, the Bible. If you miss any part of this program, or if you want to hear it again, you can download the podcast on iTunes or listen online at studywithfriends.org, where you'll also find homework you can download to follow along. That's studywithfriends.org. This week is part four of a series called Obedience and Timing. We've been examining the similarities and the differences between the temptation in the Garden of Eden and Jesus' temptation in the desert. The reason we're doing that is to show how we succeed and how we fail. If you're having a hard time following the first and second Adam concept, please take a minute to download the homework at studywithfriends.org. In last week's study, we're making the distinction between relying on God and relying on people. Let's pick up there. Are there ways we can help each other be obedient, or should we only ever rely on God and Scripture?
I think we had a perfect example when you said to me, why did I not hear about this when I kind of fell apart? Mm-hmm. And I think that if you are, I've just been blessed. God blessed me with the timing of the birth of my child that surrounded me with Christian women to support me. If I didn't have that, would I have come out and started to teach Bible study? Mm-hmm. Would I be a part of this ministry? Would I? No.
Mm-mm.
I mean, I know God may use other ways, but to have the Christian support system that I have,
mm-hmm.
has been, it's made me more accountable.
Game changer.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We always have to just rely on God and Scripture always.
Mm-hmm.
But because of who we are, mm-hmm. and how imperfect we are, we need those people that surround us that are fellow Christian brothers and sisters, mm-hmm. to reinforce that for us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is what it says. This is what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a gift that God gives us when He puts people in our lives.
Oh, yeah. I think friendship, absolutely. Just like marriage, is a gift from Him that, yes. we need to. And like a marriage, I think it's something you need to work at. I've learned, mm-hmm. that being, mm-hmm. a good friend can be hard.
Mm-hmm. Just had an eye-opener about that, too. I'm working on that.
About being, me, a good, too. Friend?
Yeah.
I did. Yeah.
Can you say more about that?
Just because I've been very lax in my friendships, mm-hmm. in nurturing them,
mm-hmm.
and taking them for granted,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and,
yeah.
expecting my friends to be there when I'm ready for them to be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not that I'm not there for them, but not working on nurturing it,
right.
which can also go into my relationship with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I need to work on it,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
not take it for granted.
I'm so blessed with a lot of godly friends. So blessed.
Me too.
So blessed. So blessed. And now I am looking at you, Amy Lamb, because, and I'll tell you why. There are a few people, I don't know, God just intersected our lives at some insane points. And so we have been through some stuff. And, even though I don't talk to Amy every day, sorry. Amy is someone who I know. Look, should I do better at calling you all the time? Of course. But she's someone that I know, even if I don't talk to her for a year, I can call her and I know she knows she can call me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really thankful for that. That doesn't let me off the hook that I should check in with you. And we do, I think we do an okay job of that. And we just understand this is what we got. And, you know, I love you, but it's like an old shoe. I know it's in the closet.
Well,
right? But then there's
But I've been convicted of Kay as well, of nurturing those. So yeah. I've been reaching out more, yeah. directly to you.
Yeah.
In fact, I told her that I would start stalking her.
Just kind of ignored that because it was creepy.
But it was extremely creepy to write.
It was great. It was great.
But it did go with the conversation
that
we had had earlier, yeah. with somebody else.
And so what I wanted to say is you can be a passive friend or you can be an active friend. Mm-hmm. I think that there's a handful, I'd say 20 people in my life that I know I can call them at the drop of the hat, even, mm-hmm. if I haven't talked to them for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I am pretty sure they know that about me.
Mm-hmm.
But that's me being a passive friend. friend in relationship. And that's not the best thing mm-hmm. to do, because guess what? God uses me when I allow myself to be used in that way. How many times I can tell you I've texted someone or called someone, they were like, you have no idea how much I needed to hear from you today.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so for sure, there's good and better ways we can be there for each other. Then the last thing that I want to lift out, first temptation to second temptation, is the questions. So in the first temptation, Genesis 3:1, Satan asks, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? And the second temptation, Satan questions Jesus' sonship by saying, if you are, and I'm adding really, because it's implied, if you are really the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. If you are, again, my adding, really the Son of God, throw yourself down. In both cases, Satan is questioning the veracity, authenticity, and authority of the Word of God. In both of these cases, it was the implied Word of God. So, you know, God said, but it had not yet been written, do not eat from this one tree. Mm-hmm. And it hadn't been written yet.
Mm-hmm.
But he said words.
Right.
And then the word, implied Word of God, if you are really the Son of God, if you are really the Son of God. So Satan is questioning the Word of God. And that is exactly how he operates in our life.
Mm-hmm.
He starts trying to shake the foundation of God's word in our life. And if we start believing him instead of believing God's word, that's yes. the first step yeah. of derailment. See, what we can learn here is his MO.
Mm-hmm.
He did the same thing in both cases. In one case, it was successful. In the other, it was not. How does that inform your understanding of temptation and obedience and how those things are tied together? Especially with respect to the enemy and how he works.
For me, I wrote in the homework, it's doubts. It just starts creeping in with doubt. I'll question, well, obviously question my own ability, but then I'll question, you really think that you belong there? You
yeah.
really think that you're capable of that?
Mm-hmm.
You really think God wants you there representing him? And it starts with that doubt, self-doubt, doubt about my position with God.
Mm-hmm.
I don't question my salvation, but I may question my effectiveness
yeah.
for him on my time here on earth.
Yeah, basically it's who do you think you are?
Yeah, you fail all the time.
Yep.
If they knew.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was the other thing for me. I was like, I can't do this mm-hmm. because I know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And if other people knew who I was, mm-hmm. they wouldn't listen mm-hmm. or think I have anything good to teach.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's perfect. I'm not even going to dwell on that, because you said exactly the right word, which is doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime the enemy comes in with temptation towards disobedience, it starts with doubt. Doubt, doubt, doubt. There's no more to say. You said it perfectly.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Now I have pride.
Sorry. Okay. Okay, so now let's wrap up. From the first to second example, this first to second Adam, there's lots of lessons in obedience. What sticks out the most to you from these comparisons?
I'm going to go totally... Now I'm going to come up with the totally opposite answer of what you expected.
I'm ready.
My favorite verse, I think, in the entire Bible is Matthew 4:11. And the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. That blows my mind.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ... God in the flesh needed angels to strengthen him. They strengthened him in the garden. I think that you had, to me, that's what stuck out is that Adam got an angel with a sword, flaming sword, telling him, you can't come back in here. And Jesus got ministered.
Ooh. that was one I didn't have.
That's what stuck out to me.
That was really
good.
Thought,
but part of me, you know, not trying to be disrespectful or rebellious towards God, but I was like, well, didn't Adam need the ministry?
But he had the presence of God every day.
Right. And he still blew it. You're
and
right.
He still blew
yeah.
it. So he had the ministry.
Yeah.
He had right. everything.
You're right.
Was perfect.
He did. And he still blew it.
So not so much.
Yeah.
And truly, did Jesus need the angels? I mean, he's God, but
right.
but the angels were a comfort and they brought
yeah.
comfort.
I mean, he still yeah. had that human flesh that he mm-hmm. had to wear.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The feeling, the hunger. He had to yeah. experience hunger. God doesn't experience hunger.
Yeah.
And tired. And
yep.
that was That's what sticks
out
to me.
Yeah, that's good. I'm so glad you said that.
That was really good.
That's just one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It didn't actually come to me until I was a more mature Christian and I read it. And I'm like, I probably read that 100 times. And a few years ago, I read it and I was like, wow.
Well, we're going to actually hit that note when we move into timing in a few minutes. So let's go there because it's really good, Nance.
Okay,
so now we've talked about temptation and obedience. We've talked about the importance of obedience. And now I want to get into this element of timing. Remember that phrase my favorite pastor said, obedience is doing God's will, God's way, in God's timing. And even if we can get the first two down, which we talked about how hard that is, the third often trips us up. And the comparison we've been drawing between the failure in obedience in the garden to perfect obedience in the desert, timing is a factor. So first of all, the timing of the first temptation in the garden shows us our need for salvation right from the beginning of creation, so there can be no doubt. But the timing of the second temptation shows fulfillment of and example of salvation. So fulfillment of capital S salvation comes in Jesus Christ, the only perfect example of obedience, even to death. So obviously, this is not the only time he was obedient, right? Mm-hmm. He was obedient his entire earthly existence. The example he sets in our little s salvation, the only way we can subvert or avoid temptation and manage obedience is through Scripture. So Jesus is showing us, and we talked about this a little bit ago, the way to deal with temptation is through God's word and full foundational confidence in that word and not letting Satan, as you were saying, Nancy, create doubt. Mm-hmm. We're saved once and for always by Jesus' death on the cross, but we're saved day by day through the Holy Spirit working out God's will and God's way in us. And we know that through the Bible. Now we're going to expand that view even more. Jesus fought temptation in the desert through Scripture, looking back each time to what God had said in his word written many years before. So he's using Old Testament Scripture to fight his battle. Now we have Old Testament and New Testament. But Jesus Christ is timeless, so he knows what was and what is now and what is yet to come. So I just want us to look at the timing on each of the three temptations that Satan put forward to him and be blessed by it. And then, of course, we have to apply it to our own lives. He knows, right, guys, in the desert, in the moment this is happening, he knows what's going to come to pass. Mm-hmm. So if we look at the questions of the enemy in the context of future fulfillment, let's do that together. Number one, Satan said, turn the stones to bread. In other words, he said, provide food miraculously here to deal with your hunger, right? That's what he's saying. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's Matthew 4:3. And the tempter said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. Well, guess what? In Mark 6, 38-44, Jesus miraculously provided food where there was none. So it's the story of the loaves and the fishes. And so Jesus knew he could and actually would do what Satan was suggesting, but not in Satan's time, rather in God's time. Jesus knew that he could turn stones to bread.
Right.
Jesus knew that he could multiply, what is it, 5 loaves and 2 fishes or 5 fishes and 2 loaves? I think it's 5 loaves and 2 fishes.
I think so.
Into feeding of thousands. So he knows he can do it. And in fact, he knows he will do it. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's a difference between saying, I can do this, and I actually am going to do this. Mm-hmm. And he waits. Number two, Satan wanted Jesus to throw himself down because the angels will lift you up in their hands so you will not strike your foot against the stone. In other words, if I'm paraphrasing that, miraculously provide for your own well-being.
And what is he quoting there? I know he's quoting... I think I found it. Psalm 91. It's for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.
Okay. So Satan is quoting Scripture. We know that's what he was doing, right? Mm-hmm. Amy, you brought that out earlier today. Mm-hmm. Of course, Jesus combats it with Scripture. So he says, it is also written. So let me read Matthew 4:5-6. The devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. But Jesus responded, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. So he batted down Scripture with Scripture. But I hear the echo of Jesus knowing that his angels will supply for him, but not in Satan's time, my Father God's timing. So Matthew 4:11, immediately following, which is your favorite part, Nancy, it says the devil left him and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. So that's exactly what happened, but not in Satan's way,
right?
In God's way. Then later, Luke 22:43, we're talking about the Garden of Gethsemane. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. We're talking about Jesus. And John 2:19-22, Jesus answered them, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews said, it has taken 40 years to build this temple. Will you raise it in 3 days? But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered what he had said, that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. So we have two examples of when angels did, in fact, come and minister for him. But what I had said earlier was Satan was saying, miraculously provide for your own well-being. What's the best example of that? Jesus raised himself from the dead. He was raised from the dead by his own miraculous provision.
Mm-hmm.
Not by angels, let's be clear.
Right.
By his own miraculous provision. Okay, and then in the third example, Satan offers the world, which in this era is his dominion. Let me source that. That's John 12:31.
Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out.
Okay, so we know from the Council of the Whole Bible that there's sort of an era where Satan has dominion over the world. That doesn't mean that he's more powerful than God. It just means that he has power, which later he will not have.
Right.
So Satan offers the world to Jesus and only asks for Jesus's worship in return. He says in Matthew 4:8-9, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Except that in Revelation 20:6, and Jesus has all knowledge of all time, it says, blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God, and Christ will reign with him for 1,000 years. God, Jesus knows he will reign over this earth in God's timing. He again says, I can and I will, but not in your timing, Satan, in God's timing. And so all of a sudden, I had this recognition of the temptation and how Jesus was tempted with things that were actually what God intended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what would come to pass. And all of a sudden, this whole thing about timing just took on such a new layer for me.
Mm-hmm.
If Jesus had been impatient to fulfill the things he knew he could, what might have been the ramifications?
The whole plan fell apart.
Because in perfect timing, all of us have an opportunity for salvation.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you, gosh, there are so many things from my life. As I'm doing this, I want you to start your juices flowing, okay? Because this is the crux of the whole thing. I really want us to recognize that obedience, God's will, God's way, in God's time, all three of those prongs have to be solid or else it's not full obedience. Here's an example. And I was really racking my brains over it because I feel like my whole life is an example of that. So I had to really like lift out some good stories that I could tell to really drive this home. Here's one. As a believer, it is often my desire to create a bubble around myself of believers and like not deal with the yucky world. That's bad. I mean, obviously, that's not a good thing to do because then how do I reach the world and how do I reach people? People are reached through believers.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Gianna, who's now 15 and in ninth grade, wrapping up ninth grade in high school, when Gianna was entering first grade, my husband and I were considering what school would be the right choice for her because we had a couple choices. She had gone to a charter school.
Mm-hmm.
She had gone to a private preschool. And we were looking at, should she go to this charter school? Should she go to the public school? And of course, one of the options was a Christian school. And I was all about the Christian school. And I remember at the time Greg said to me, how can the Christian school be a wrong choice? It's a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. How could that be the wrong choice? And in my spirit, I heard what he was saying and it made sense to me. God's will, God's way. That seemed like we were fulfilling those first two obligations of obedience. But now in retrospect, I can tell you it wasn't God's timing. And I just prayed. And as you do, if you're praying and you're earnest and you're open, you'll hear him lead you and you can follow. Even though it did not make a lot of sense to me for my child not to go to the Christian school, it was not what God wanted for us. I didn't know why for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. Fast forward to this year, the same Christian school is where we moved Sophia out of the public school system into that same school 10 years later. We were praying about it over the summer and we all were just like, I mean, it was not a flopping around decision at all. You know how some decisions you're like, I don't know. This one was like, this is so right. Mm-hmm. And we just pulled the trigger. Mm-hmm. And she has come to me. Every month or so I check in with her and I'm like, any regrets? Do you miss your friends? Do you feel like this was the right decision? She's like, Mom, it was so the right decision. Mm. And there was a seminal moment that speaks to this timing issue with Sophia. Two seminal moments. One, early in the school year, Sophia said to me, I really just wish I had been here all along. I wish I had been at this school all along because everybody here is different. And she didn't say these words, but basically what she was saying was they're not scarred by the world like I am now, by this experience that I've had. They just didn't have that. And I wish that that had been my path. And I said to her, but if that had been your path, you maybe wouldn't appreciate it the way you're appreciating it right now.
That is so true.
My little sweet seventh grader, she was like, I want to stay in the Christian school. I want to go to a Christian college and I want to marry a Christian man.
Oh, amen.
And I was like, talk about timing. Mm. She had to go through that season of being in a different place to recognize the blessing of not being in that place. Okay. So that's the first moment that I realized, because of course, as a mom, when she says that, my first instinct was to question. Yeah. Hey, we looked at that school and I didn't do it wrong.
I did it wrong.
Yeah. And the truth is, I didn't do it wrong.
No,
and
you
I'm so comforted
didn't.
By that.
Yeah.
And here's the next shoe that drops. Through the school year, Gianna is seeing Sophia's experience. And she's having her own experience. And Gianna goes to a huge, there's 3,300 students who go to Gianna's high school. Mm-hmm. As there will be, I'm not trying to be negative, but as there will be when there's 3,300 of any people group, there's going to be some hot messes. Mm-hmm. And because it's high school, I think the ratio of hot mess might be a little higher. Okay. So, I mean, Gianna's sort of my contemplative one. She's not one to speak up until she's sort of settled on what she thinks. She's like, you know what, Mom? I was wondering, that offer over the summer that you gave me to go to the Christian school, is that offer still open? And I said, yeah. And she said, I think I'd like to do that. Mm. And I said, why? She said, I feel suffocated here. Mm. I feel spiritually suffocated here. I said to her, are you sure? Mm. Are you sure God doesn't have you there because he knows you can handle it? Are you sure this is the right thing? And she's really grappling with the decision right now. I don't know where she'll land, but what I can tell you is it's very ironic to me that we looked at this school and then we came back to this school. Right now, I hope you're thinking about the ways that obedience and timing have collided in your life. I can tell you there are lots of times I got it wrong, but by God's grace, sometimes I get it right. Part of that is being intentional about doing God's will, God's way, in God's timing. That last part can be really hard. Waiting is hard, but you have a God who loves you so much. He won't let you struggle through that alone. And we love you too. Come back next week for the last part of this series. Study with Friends is here to help you read and understand God's Word at every stage of your spiritual growth. We pray that you're blessed by the program. Would you prayerfully consider joining us as we reach hearts with God's Word? This month, we're praying that listeners would make a commitment of $10 a month. All donations go directly to the costs of teaching God's Word on air and online. Please consider a donation of $10 a month. You can set up monthly giving at our website, studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. We believe in the importance of your local church. If you don't regularly attend Sunday services and a small group Bible study, please find one. but be discerning. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every small group situation. See you next time on Study with Friends.